Shop.
Hey, Daddy! What is our topic of the month, Mr. Prompmaster?
Well, you know, one thing, I was looking back over the segments and thinking, you know what's crazy, Chris?
You?
Well, yeah, other than stating the obvious.
Me?
You? No, that we've never talked about prop controllers, man.
Yeah, I don't think we ever really did delve into the area of prop controllers. So let's put on the flippers and take a dive.
Dive? Well, the reason I'm thinking about it is I'm waiting on UPS right now. You know how exciting that is, like freaking Christmas. And I got a brand new Boobox Flex heading my direction right now. And I started thinking, you know, I use those things so often. I'm very familiar with them. If I'm going to control something, I'm going to use that product. And I don't think we've ever chatted about it. So I guess let's start like this. If you're going to control one of your props, what's your go-to prop controller?
Well, I've got several different prop controllers that I'm working with, and it's hard to say what my go-to is, but I do like the simplicity of the Peekaboos. The Peekaboos are very simple, like the Peekaboo 105, which has the, it's the AC. You just plug, you don't have to splice any cables or cords. You just plug the damn, you take the normal AC plug and just, boom, plug it right in there, and that's it. It has two outputs, so you can only, like, when you can set it to fire off, like, the prop and maybe turn a light on to shine on the prop at the same time. It has audio in it. So you can record an ambient track, which I'm not big on the ambient track. I don't see the need to put an ambient track on there typically, especially if I have other music playing. I think it's just a little bit more distracting. Plus, I don't want to call attention to the prop, so I'd rather not have ambient coming out of it.
To interrupt you. With the ambient, I don't generally do music or anything out of it, but I had a Witch's Cauldron prop one time that I had powered with that exact controller, and I used the ambient sound there to do the bubbling of the cauldron. I think I had some crickets going in the background, owls. It was an outdoor scene. So that was really cool because it kind of set the rest of the scene, and I think it made the scare that much more dramatic, but that's just me.
Oh, well, that makes sense. Yeah, I mean, if you were doing, let's say, a mad scientist laboratory, and you could have the sound effect from the laboratory running, Jacob's Ladder or something, you know, sound effect, and then, boom, the guy comes out. I can see the usefulness of it. I typically don't use it, though, but it has, you know, has the audio out. You just plug a pair of computer speakers in there. I'm not sure if it's like a three or five watt amp that it will allow you to hook up a regular speaker, you know, so you can use a little speaker wire and hook it up, and think you can use that as well.
It's actually got a 10 watt Class D amplifier in it, so it's not bad.
Oh, okay, that's even better. Wow.
Yeah, you can go straight to speaker with it. You can use the computer speakers if you want to. But it's got a pretty decent little amp in it. There's a lot of different controllers out there, but there's basically, they fall into two categories. You've got a programmable prop controller that you need to actually go in and write code for, such as like the Prop 1 or Prop 2. And then you have everything else, which is pretty much a key banger. And what's fun about the key bangers is you don't really need to have that computer-minded, you know, sensibility about you. You just push a button, and whatever button you're pushing, that output fires it. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, it's simple. I don't like to get bogged down with a lot of this extra bullshit, especially programming. I can figure it out. I could probably, if somebody wrote me the program, I even needed to make some tweaks to it, I could tweak it. But I don't want to have to go through all that. That's just a pain in the ass. Now, Denny, I do have one Prop 1 that I'm currently using. I bought it a few years back. I didn't even use it the first year. I just bought it so I could do a little drink and think deal. I tried to learn how to program it. It just went a little bit over my head. It's a lot to grasp in one sitting on how to write code for the Prop 1. You have to learn the P basic code. Kind of pain in the ass. Usually you can find somebody who will just write it for you, you know, if you know anybody who's familiar with it. The guy, John, from Effects Tech, usually will... Is it EFX Tech or is just Effects Tech? I always just call it Effects Tech.
It's Effects Tech as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. So... And you can usually get them. They'll even write the code for you. You can tell them what you want, and typically they have like a forum board, and they'll write the code for you. It does quite a bit. The problem with it is the audio is that you have to buy, which I just did because this was my big dilemma recently. I was having problems with my Monster in the Box. I was trying to figure out what I was going to do with the audio, whether I was just going to replace the prop one from the box. The program works great. It has like three different routines. I'm using that ping trigger. If you're familiar with that, you can buy it from Parallax. And it works on a sonar. It's based on sonar. So you can set it to go off when a person's 5 feet away, 3 feet away. It does need something, a hard surface on the other side of it for it to bounce off of, because it is like a sonar. So if you just have it out in your yard and there's nothing on the other side for it to bounce off, that's not good. It either will work erratically or it won't go off at all. So you need something there for it to bounce off of. So in a room, if you have it in some kind of a room, and you're all set. So the audio with that, I used one of those V2 music hacks where you have to you splice some of the wires together and hook it up into the prop one, and when it and you have to write the specific code, change the baud rate and all that, and it worked fine the first year, and then the second year, last year, it just quit on me completely. Did not work. So I was wondering, what am I going to do this year? I need audio for the damn thing. It doesn't really, the effectiveness is lost without the audio. And I was going back and forth, and I was thinking about using possibly the Monster Shield, which is, I'll get into in a minute. But then I decided, you know what? I could try to find another audio board that might work that I could hack to make it work with it, or put in a complete other board and then I have to write a whole new program for it, or I could just go with the Keybanger thing, but it's not going to have the audio punch that I'm looking for. So I ended up just going and buying the AP8 from Effects Tech, but it's $160 to get that board. Now, it's very powerful. It's very loud. I think it has up to 30 watts per channel or something like that. But it's $160. That's just for the audio component of the Prop 1. Like, the Prop 1 kit itself is, like, I don't remember, around $60? Somewhere in that ballpark?
Well, that's the advantage of using the Prop 1 and the Prop 2. I mean, everything has its give and its take.
Yeah.
For anybody who wants to learn the programming, you can pick up a Prop 1. If you get the whole kit at first, it's somewhere around $45, $50, $60. But after that, each additional Prop 1 that you can program with that same kit, I think they're like $25 or $30. I mean, they're really nothing, but they're such a pain in the butt to work with.
Now, since I already had it installed, I already had the program written, I will have to go in and change the code for the audio, which I'm probably just going to like export the code and copy and paste and send that to the guy at Effects Tech and say, hey, I need you to change this code so it will work with your AP, 16 there, and have him just alter the code for me so I can then just upload it again and be done with it. I figured overall, even though it was a more costly option, it probably would be less work, and I wouldn't need to put a new trigger in and rewire and put a, I would have needed a new controller, a new trigger, all the other bullshit. I'm like, I like the ping trigger. I wanted to keep that, and that was the main reason I decided I was just gonna keep the Prop 1 in there. Now, the other option, I could have gone to the Monster Shield, which is a new product that came out last year. I had the guy on the show who puts it together. It's on hauntsoft.com, and this is built on an Arduino. Now, have you had any experience working with the Arduino?
I have never put one in my hands before.
I was barely familiar with it. Only by name, I knew that the Arduino was out there, but really wasn't too familiar with what it did. But he built the shield that attaches to an Arduino. It also has an audio board that's connected to it. So you can buy the package from him, and it has, like, you know, it works off of the audio works off an SD card. If you get the whole kit, it has a little key banger board, so you don't have to go in and write the code. There's really no code to write. He built this like web-based program where you can kind of click some buttons, and you don't really have to do any actual writing of code, but you can program it, and it's pretty robust. I mean, it offers quite a bit. I think it had like 16 outputs or something ridiculous. I mean, for me, I don't know about you. I'm always dealing with like one or two. You know, like turn on a light, fire the pop-up. Pretty much that's all I'm usually dealing with, you know, so.
Well, it depends on the product. I mean, we talked about you use the 105. The 105 has the advantage because it has the plug, and these are the Peekaboo products. Then you've got the Peekaboo Plus, which has four output controllers and audio. And, you know, that goes up and up. And obviously, the more outputs you get, that's basically the best way to look at it. The more outputs, the more it's going to cost. I've graduated to the BooBox Flex. The Flex comes with four or eight outputs. It's another $15 for the additional four outputs. So usually it's about $215 is what you'll spend to get eight outputs, two trigger inputs. You've got audio out off an SD card. It's really, really great controller. It'll last you forever. The only problem with it is in order to use the BooBox Flex, and they also have a Flex Max now that has 16 outputs, is you have to buy a ScareMaster. It's a standalone programmer. It's about $180. And you use this like a little personal computer to write your shows. It's so simple. It's a key banger interface. So basically, you've got 1 through 8 buttons. You have a left and a right volume slider switch off to your right. You can plug an SD card in there and program in real time to the sound on this little box. So the BooBox Flex is virtually indestructible. What I found with other programmable prop controllers, such as, I mean, not to put anybody down, but like the Nerve Center, even the Prop 1 and Prop 2, after you turn them off and on, off and on, off and on, you start losing programming. Sometimes they don't come on. Sometimes the reaction is sporadic. If you bang them around, if you get a power surge, they just seem so finicky and touchy. Whereas the BooBox Flex, I mean, I beat the crap out of those things. I really do. I have one model that I keep in the garage just to do practice programming on. Like, I'll get it all hooked up how I like it. And when I have it going out to a client, I'm a nice guy. I buy them the new box. All right. I'm lying to you, Chris. Actually, I buy a new box. I keep the new box and I give them that one. But still, it's still indestructible. And you can run 8 separate shows out of the BooBox Flex. So I can do 8 different shows with the same prop. Say you had a, you know, your monster in the box. You could program 8 different shows for that monster in the box with their own sound. I think you can run 4 minutes of continuous sound, a 4-minute show out of it. Ambient music, ambient background music. I just love that the prop controller.
So what kind of audio does the Flex have?
The Flex doesn't have an amplifier inside of it. What you actually do is use your powered speakers. Now, before you moan and groan, I go down to Fry's Electronics, and I can pick up a killer set of speakers for about $30. It's way more than I need out of that thing. So basically, you know, for $30, you're putting computer speakers that are, you know, self-powered on there, and you're fine. I mean, it runs from the SD card. It's, you know, it's iPod quality music.
Hey, I got a good question for you. All my questions are good. What type of speakers are you using? I need to find some good powered audio, you know, computer speakers that I can use to plug into especially that Monster Shield. I need something that has a little bit more punch. I bought one out of the box last year, and the thing, I thought it was going to be really high powered. It looked like it had a subwoofer in it, and the thing sucked ass. I don't remember the brand name of it. Anything you could recommend?
Jeez, talk about putting me on the spot. Generally, there's two places I'll go. I go to Fry's Electronics, and I don't buy the cheap ones. I mean, you can get a pretty good, for $30 to $50, you can get some really badass speakers. I came across a set the other day at Radio Shack, of all places, believe it or not. They had speakers sitting outside the door to attract people in, and these things were pumping and bumping. They were $49 a pair, but they were powered computer speakers, and they sound every bit as good as my stereo. I don't know the brand name. I know they were a brand name. It was Panasonic or Sony or something like that, but they weren't bad price.
So the Boombox Flex is also DMX compatible, is that right?
All right, the Boombox Flex is not DMX compatible, but the Boombox Flex Max is. That's the newest one they have out now. It's got 8 trigger inputs, 8 or 16 solid state outputs. For anybody who doesn't know what that means, it means they're actually powered outputs. So you're running 12 or 24 volts, whichever wall wart you choose to power it will determine that. So you've got 8 or 16 12-volt outputs. You've got 2 servo outputs, and then it can also be controlled by DMX. It has a DMX lighting output as well. It's got an MP3 stereo audio capability, 50-watt stereo amp, a 50-watt amp built into this thing. But once again, with this model, you're going to need the ScareMaster, which is that separate side programmer. This is going to cost you somewhere around $300. So it's not the cheapest alternative, but hang on and think about this. You can control 16 outputs with sound. You can run your entire haunt, audio, video, or visual, video, all your props, everything off of one controller, and it's easy to use.
So you can separate and you could run like one pop up over here, like little, like, I don't know, extender prop over here. So you can, this one will fire. Now, how do you plug the triggers in? You just have to run a lot of wire, I guess, is what happens.
Yeah. 8 trigger inputs, so you could run one brake beam, you could run a couple of mats, you could run anything you wanted to.
Oh, damn.
It's from all over your haunt. Now, you would be buying your wire by the spool, but shit, it's I love these controllers. I get mine, they're a Fright Ideas product. I prefer to do business with Brent Ross from DC Props. He's been a great sponsor of the show, and he's starting to become a really good friend of mine. I buy everything I can from him, and that's where I get mine.
I bought the 104 off of him. I already had the 105 from a year or two ago, and then I bought the 104 off of him this year because I realized I was short one controller. And because I was trying to swap out, I think, a nerve center for it. Like I say, not to bash the nerve centers, which they're not even in production anymore anyway. He doesn't even sell them any longer. But the audio outs on those were pretty poor. And, they worked. They worked well. I mean, if you're looking for something simple that doesn't really have any audio, you know, they worked fine. I mean, if you were just having something, like a light turn on or something happen that really didn't require any good audio. Some people don't care so much about audio as long as, you know, something comes out of the speaker, they're happy. But I'm getting a little bit more anal on the audio that's coming out of the props, because it's a big part of it. A big part of the scare is the sound. It's the sight and the sound. Don't you agree, Dan? Am I all by myself here on this or what?
Sorry, I just heard UPS pull up, so I got a little bit excited. My apologies. No, it's not that you're getting anal. You're just getting a little more. What's a better word than anal? I know how much you like that word. You're discriminating. No, that's not the right word either. Discerning. Is that the right word?
Sure. So the peekaboos are great. Key bangers. Some of them have better audio than others, depending on which model you buy, depending on what outputs you want. But yeah, you go up to the Boo boxes, then you're dealing with the heavy. You're going a little bit more heavy duty. You can run, quite a dozen, but 4 to 8 different props off of that thing. But you do need to buy the ScareMaster controller to go with it. That's right. The only key. Okay.
There's a new product out. I am not familiar with this product. I haven't used it at all. I use the ScareMaster with my Boombox Flex and my Flex Max. But they have a new thing out now, and it's called the Director. what I understand, it's software that you put on your computer. So now you've got a on-screen way to program all of your stuff.
Is there anything else that people need to know as they choose their controller of choice?
Well, you know, really, when someone's making, it's a big decision to make. You got to look at, what are you trying to accomplish? I mean, do you want to spend less than $100 just for a little simple controller to maybe do a couple of props? Or are you trying to do a very sophisticated show where you need a lot of audio and a lot of lights and you really need to be on top of what you're doing? Basically, the decision they make is based on what their needs are. But for if there is a minion out there that hasn't played with a prop controller, my God, what are you waiting on? Don't be afraid. It's really simple. It's a little bit of an investment. I know some home hunters out there that maybe $300-$400 is a whole lot of money, but that's the only way you're going to take your haunt to the next level. I mean, we've all used the little the little driveway light sensors that you plug the little plugs into, and you can plug your CD player up to that, and you know you can make things work. But it's not reliable. Heck, a leaf blows by and all of a sudden this thing's going off. Sometimes it just starts going off and never stops. Those are the problems you're going to constantly deal with until you actually pull the trigger and buy yourself a prop controller. Don't be scared. Play with it. The cool thing is you'll have it forever. It's not married to that prop. Heck, the next year maybe you can run two props off the same one or take it off and do something complex. Right now in my shop, I bet you I have 5 different prop controllers that I swap around on different things that I'm messing around with depending on what my needs are. Yeah. So,
and you know what? If you decide you're going to upgrade down the road to something else, then just go online and sell it on eBay or put it on the Haunt Forum or something like that. Tell people you got it for sale, throw it up there, knock a couple of bucks off because it's used. Someone will buy it up. They'll
sure.
Put it up from you, and then you can go put that money into something bigger and better. You work your way up the prop controller line.
Right, and if you have questions, that's why I love DC Props. I mean, Brent Ross is a great guy. If you send him a question, he will respond quickly. He loves to work with his customers. So if you get this thing and you're looking at it going, oh, my God, where do I start? Pick up the phone. Send an email. You'll get a response that day, and you'll be off and running. Of course, you could reach out to Chris. He probably won't answer. Or you could reach out to me at denhaunt@yahoo.com, and I
definitely won't answer.
You won't answer. You don't answer when I call half the time.
Figure it out on your own, just like I did. No, hey, look, we've given you everything you need to know. Right here. This is all you need to know.
Hey, I got to be honest, Chris. I'm sitting here trying to concentrate, and I know I got a prop controller on the front porch, so I'm going to go ahead and cut this short if that's all right. Well, this is Denny or Den Haunt signing off. And I just want to say, it's nice to build something, but it's a hell of a lot more. Oh, my God, I can never get that right.
It's nice to buy a prop, but it's a hell of a lot more fun to build one. So go out there and build something. Damn it. Do I have to do your segment for you?
I'm going now. Heaven help you.
Please like and follow the podcast. Stalk us on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Links in the description. And help us by sharing HauntCast with all your Haunt and Halloween brethren. Until next time, stay scary.